And celebrities only care about timing and attention. If it's the right time for them because of a book launch, a charity event, a seminar, a product, a movie, a documentary, whatever it may be, if the timing is right and you guarantee enough attention and eyeballs, any celebrity will say yes. And as you guys know, I've done 2,000 interviews. My show's on Amazon Prime, airplanes, radio, television. We got the formula dialed in. It works extremely well. And
boom, boom, tsh, boom, 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 tsh, boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
What up? We're back for another episode, Hustle and Flowchart, with this guy to my left. You're right. But you know what? We talked about a lot with an amazing guy named Mark Lack. You've probably heard of him or seen him. He's done like thousands and thousands of interviews. I'm going to have him tell you more.
Hey, what's up? It's Mark Lack, and I just finished my episode on Hustle and Flowchart, and I just wanted to let you guys know that we talked about one of my best ways that I've been able to generate tens of millions of dollars in sales, and how you can ethically borrow anybody's celebrity status, billionaires, influencers, thought leaders, and experts to do an interview with you completely for free, and how you can get millions of people to watch it also completely for free. So if you want to know how to do that, we break it down step by step in today's episode. Check it out.
Thank you, Mark. That was awesome. That was rad. All right. Woo. So let's go listen to this interview. Listen to him and us banter around. You're going to learn a lot. Go take our, we took the notes. You can take some notes, but that's at your discretion. We took them already for you. So save your hand and your typing skills. Go to hustleandflowchart.com/hustle. Wait. Check that one up. Hustleandflowchart.com/notes, and you will get them for free. Hustleandflowchart.com/notes. Get the notes of this episode. Let's go chat with Mr. Mark Lack. We're rolling. Mark, great to have you, man, here.
Good to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, you're rocking our favorite team's hat. I did that on purpose just because we're here. No. But yeah, San Diego Pods. Got to give a shout out. But man, it's it's cool to have you here, man. And you and I chatted maybe a couple weeks ago, and it was like, it was supposed to be just a little jam sesh, get to know, and figuring it was just like, you were just, it was schooling, man. It was just like, oh man, you've gone deep into everything you've done, and you know it back and forth, left and right, man. So
it's, I think one of the big differences is for me, it's my passion, and I actually really enjoy this stuff. And some people are in it for, they're in it for the business. Some people are in it because they've been doing it so long, they don't know how to do anything else. Some people are in it because it's their passion. Some people are in it for the money. Some people are in it for their certain reasons. I truly am passionate about this, which is why we were just connecting for like 5 minutes. It turned into like an hour long jam sesh, just talking about marketing and funnels. So I'm excited. We'll share some of this with your audience here.
Appreciate that, brother. Yeah. Cause you're an open book. You were to me then. And I know you're just a, you know, it's a depth of knowledge, but let's go back really fast. You know, we won't go deep on the story, the background, but I love the whole fact that you started with paintball, of all things, back in like what, high school age.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were crushing it, man. You're like top of the game, but it was because what, you're motivated to not do school. It was mundane. Like were like, dude, I'm not made for this, so I'm gonna make my own thing. So
yeah, dude, it was a unique time in my life. You know, for whatever reason, school didn't click with me. I didn't vibe with what I was learning. The teachers didn't seem to do a good job. When I said, "Why do I need to learn about this?" Their answer was, you know, because it, you need to get it to the next class. Hmm. And I was like, "When am I ever going to use this in real life? Like in my career?" You know, you aren't, but you need to learn it. And I was like, "That's a pretty lame answer." And so it just propelled my hatred for the formal education system. Hmm. I was learning from a lot of teachers. God bless teachers, but like most teachers are not living the results in the life that I want. They don't have the health that I want. They don't have the relationships. They don't have the finances. They don't really seem to have it. So it's like in my model of life, I like to learn from people who have achieved what I want. And in the formal education system, after you learn your ABCs and you get into like high school, you're not really learning that valuable of information by my definition, which is why a lot of my high school and college friends are dead broke and live with their, you know, live with their parents right now, unfortunately. And then, yeah, paintball was my weird outlet. Like, you know, most people need an outlet. It could be drugs, alcohol, video games, sports, you know, your friend clique, skateboarding, whatever your thing is. Everybody finds that when they're, you know, growing up, and we still have it as adults. For me, weirdly, paintball was my thing. You know, run around and shoot each other. I was terrified at first.
I was going to say, man. Like,
I was. Oh, yeah. I wasn't natural.
I loved it.
I was definitely not a natural. I was terrified to get shot.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I enjoyed it. And it just became my passion, and I went all in on it. And within, I think, about 5 years, I was playing competitive.
Yeah.
I didn't just start competitive. I progressively got into competitions. And then from there, I became, you know, rookie, nov, am, semi-pro, and then professional. I got on the best team in the world, Team Dynasty.
Wow.
And actually out of San Diego.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of them, actually, because I was kind of tapped in for a little bit there.
Yeah, yeah. So I was on the best team in the world, Team Dynasty. I was ranked one of the top 10 players in the whole world, and I made $300,000 in high school playing professional paintball, which is crazy because it's like, how could you make multiple six figures in high school playing paintball?
Yeah.
But I try to tell people, if you're the top 10 in the world at literally anything, you either have a massive following on social media or you're getting paid sponsorship money and money for winning local competitions, and 20 grand here, 50 grand here, 10 grand here, it adds up.
Sure.
Plus your sponsorship money. And so that was my unique world that I lived in. It got me addicted to what it felt like to be a rock star. Like I was a rock star in that little world. Like I could take my jersey off and sell it for $1,000 cash when I was a 17, 18 year old kid. I could just take my jersey off and be like, boom, $1,000 cash, and scribble my initials on it with a Sharpie. So it was a really cool time, and it got me addicted. But I lived in this weird paradox where Monday through Friday I went to school and I was the stupid kid who failed. Nobody wanted me on their class projects. Nobody would study with me because I was dumb and failing classes. I learned to outsource and delegate, which they call cheating in school.
Hey, you did that too.
I did.
Right? But in real life, that's literally the way you become a CEO and become successful, is you use every resource, everything at your dispense, people, you outsource, you delegate, you find people smarter than you to do the stuff that you suck at, like chemistry or whatever. Yeah, and so that's what I did. I became friends with smart kids, and I found unique, creative ways to outsource and delegate. But yeah, dude, it was an interesting time for me. It was like Monday through Friday, I was like Clark Kent, like like working at the 9-to-5 job. And then on the weekends, I felt like Superman. Like people were just like, yeah, like you're like on the best team ever. You're famous. Like I could roll up to like, you know, Camp Pendleton Paintball Park in my gear, and like everyone was like, oh. And it felt really cool to be like, you know what? I'm a loser in school, but I'm super successful and cool and the best at this thing. Yeah. And that made me feel good. And I realized I don't want to ever lose this feeling. I don't ever want to go and get a 9-to-5 job and be like, you're the guy who was the high school quarterback, and now you're a loser for the rest of your life. And you hang on to that little thing. Oh, back in my paintball days, I was the cool. I was so cool. But now, and so I was like, how do I become a rock star and like make way more money and live my best life forever? Because paintball is not going to be it. Paintball is not like basketball or soccer or football or tennis, where you can actually go and make millions and be famous. I was just very tiny in my little sport, and so I was like, I got to find a way to get rich and like prove everybody in school wrong, because they still didn't think I was smart because I made money in paintball. I was even weirder. It was like cool to some people, but weird to others.
Sure.
So I was like, I started hitting the internet. I was like, all right, how do I get rich? How do I become successful? How do I become confident and become like the guy, my definition, like you'd see in a movie or something? And I found Tony Robbins and a bunch of other great mentors, John Assaroff, Brian Tracy, and so many others I could list off that just changed my life. And I became addicted, and I started, the words they said on YouTube videos and in their books, it was like, oh my God, I'm a closet freak student. Like I love to learn. I just didn't know the stuff I was learning was garbage, and that's why I was stupid and turned off. But I'm actually a closet freak learner. I have thousands of books behind me. And that I've read all of these. I have a whole nother bookshelf in another part of my house with books I haven't read yet. I got 200 books on the floor over here that won't even fit on the shelf. And so I'm like a closet freak learner. And so like when I started hearing stuff that I was like, instantaneously, you know, when you hear something in business and you're like, oh, I'm going to make $1 million off of that. You're like, over the next 6 months, when I apply that right there, I'm going to get rich. Like that's such a cool feeling when you hear something and you're like, I know that's going to help my relationship, my health, my business, my finances, my accounting. And so I heard Tony Robbins and these other people, John Assaroff and Brian Tracy and Think and Grow Rich and so many other things. And I was like, this stuff is going to change my life. I just, I hadn't done it yet, but I knew what they were saying worked. It was like, once you understand 1 + 1 = 2 and your brain's like, so then 2 + 2 = 4. And you start to understand like basic things that just make sense. And so for me, once that clicked, my life changed, bro. I became addicted. I was ditching class to go study Jay Abraham, wow. Tony Robbins, Chet Holmes, sales, marketing, copywriting, persuasion, all the things, personal development and how to make money. And it changed my life, dude. And I started to make 6 figures and then multiple 6 figure, then 7 figures and then multiple 7 figures and now 8 figures. And so blessed. And, you know, my passion now obviously is sharing with businesses and people, you know, how they can change their life and how they can change their money situation. And, you know, my thing is like personal branding. But really, I'm a sales and marketer till I die. Personal branding is just kind of the cherry on the top of good sales and marketing.
Well, I would say that's what allows you to do all this stuff, right? I mean, with the credibility, the authority that you create through the branding, and then what we want to get into, which, you know, you do amazing, and you've done what, over 2,000 interviews all over the is all you know, connecting with celebrities, connecting with big thought leaders, and kind of borrowing authority, but you have a really cool mechanism on how to do that.
Well, on the other side, you're going and spotting brands and making deals with brands and getting the brands to actually support and fund the growth of these shows. So you got this really cool closed loop system going on where, you know, you get the celebrity, you create the video, you get the brand to reimburse you for the growth of the video that you got with the celebrity, and then you just keep that cycle going, and it seems like the show just kind of exponentially grows as a result.
So. Yeah, it goes back to the old Jim Rohn saying, which is, if you help enough people get what they want first, then you will get everything that you want second. And I think we live in a society now where everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have just been taught or conditioned to think, yo, I got to get mine. I got to get mine first, then you get what's left. And so for me, you know, I love that saying, and I always try to live by that, like, that's exactly the formula that we had talked about and you just quickly summarized, which we can get into if you guys want.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's like you're helping the influencer, the expert, the thought leader, the celebrity, the billionaire get what they want, which is attention on an interview to talk about their thing at the right time. Their book launch is coming out. They talk about their book, whatever. And then if you want, a sponsor then pays for the money to be the sponsor in that episode. And you can use that sponsorship money, which is pure profit to some degree, to then promote the interview, because Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Google, they all have what's called a pay-to-play platform. And if you pay money, you can run ads and target a specific demographic and person, and you can continue to invest money in those ads to get however many eyeballs you want. So theoretically, you could get 1 million eyeballs guaranteed by a specific demographic every time with absolute precision. Therefore, you could theoretically pre-negotiate in advance. Like when you go and buy real estate, you know the bank will back it based on certain terms. So you can go make deals before you even have the capital because you know the bank will agree to specific terms. Mm-hmm. Same thing. You could theoretically, with my formula, go and guarantee a celebrity will do an interview for 500,000 or 1 million views, knowing that you could come out of pocket and fund that yourself if need be, or a sponsor will pay the money and the money will be used purely for promoting the video. And you could tell the sponsor, would you like your sponsorship to be played in a clip with this celebrity or influencer or billionaire or thought leader or expert? It's going to get 500,000 views. And the sponsor says, well, that would be worth $5,000. No problem. 500,000 people with that celebrity watching this episode, probably for a good duration because of the celebrity, I'll pay you 5 grand for 500,000 views. And lo and behold, their 5 grand is what's paying for the 500,000 views, because mathematically about 5 grand will get about 500,000 views. There's a huge deviance, or I should say variance in the change. Like 5 grand could get less, 5 grand could get more.
Yeah.
Depends on too many factors to rifle off. And the big difference is when you're boosting a post on Facebook or promoting a post on Instagram that's native to the platform and it doesn't link people to your website, your lead magnet, your funnel, they give you a big discounted delta. And so the difference becomes $5,000 on an ad that links to your funnel and your website and takes people off of Facebook. cost a lot more because the algorithm is set in a certain way that says you can pay to take people and show them your ads and take them off of our website to yours, take them off of Facebook or YouTube to your website, and you can do whatever you want with them as long as you're compliant with our policies. But if you are literally uploading a native video, meaning it's native, it's on Instagram, it's on, like, you post on Instagram, it's on Instagram, it's a native video to Instagram. I go find your profile, there it is, it's native to Instagram, it's on there. You can literally pay to promote that video and it has no link, no call to action, doesn't take them anywhere, it leaves them on the native platform. You're literally giving Instagram money to show Instagram people a video on Instagram that stays on Instagram. They give you a massive, massive discount because the algorithm knows, holy crap, this person's paying us money to leave them on here. How, why? Well, okay, we'll give you a discount.
Engagement. Yeah.
We'll give you a discount and we'll get a lot of people to watch this for cheaper than normal because I don't know how you're making money, so we'll give you a discount so that you keep giving us money for theoretically nothing but engagement and eyeballs, but attention is a commodity. That's why businesses pay $5 million for a 30-second Super Bowl ad, because it's 100 million people.
Yep.
But there's less targeting and less attribution to a Super Bowl ad that they pay $5 million for than $5 million on social media.
Yeah.
That would be like a billion views.
For sure.
And you can have attribution, targeting, retargeting, and all these other factors. So the model is beautiful. I just took my concepts of like direct response advertising and then like reverse engineered how you could pre-guarantee, just like with a bank note, right? Like, or leveraging collateral with other investments or real estate deals. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I could tell the celebrity I'll guarantee a 500,000 views, and I could tell the sponsor I guarantee a 500,000 views, of which both of them say yes to, and then the sponsor gives me the money. And it's like, you're actually negotiating things that are hinged on the other thing, but yet they both say yes at the same time because they both say, and then it, worst case, you pay the money to get the views anyways, which I do all the time because I'm like, I don't even want a sponsor in this. I'll be the sponsor myself of my own episode.
Yeah.
But you guys get the point. It's just a beautiful formula. Why does a sponsor pay for views with a celebrity? Beautiful. Why does the celebrity say yes to the interview with you who's got no show, no proof, no, they're the first person you've ever interviewed? Because they want a 500,000 views and you can guarantee it contractually if need be. Yep. Usually you don't need a contract. You just say, I'll guarantee a 500,000 views. And if they say, well, it's weird, when I look you up online, I don't see a podcast or a show or anything. You say, well, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. What's different about us is we're starting our episode with the best guests and we have a budget to promote every single episode the same way that I would promote a TV show, a PR promotion, be featured in local radio, television, the same way that I can run a YouTube ad targeted to an audience until it reaches millions of people. You ever seen a bunch of ads popping up on your screen before? That's what we're going to do with your episode. You're going to be fucking everywhere. Sorry if I can't curse on you. You're going to be everywhere because I'm going to pay to promote it and we have an episode. Oh my God, you got to see the face reactions of the influencer, the celebrity, the thought leader when you say that. They're like, everybody just invites me on their podcast and they never can guarantee me views and my targeting of the audience. You're guaranteeing it and you're going to promote this with money and back it. Oh, that's beautiful. It gets the best response ever. So just for people wondering, how do you do this if you don't have a show and you've never done it and you don't have a track record? You just say that. We have a budget to promote the heck out of this thing. And so yours is guaranteed a 500,000 views. We can even send you a one-page contract guaranteeing it, but trust me, it's going to happen. And so it's a beautiful thing to be able to guarantee the views. And celebrities only care about timing and attention. If it's the right time for them because of a book launch, a charity event, a seminar, a product, a movie, a documentary, whatever it may be, if the timing is right and you guarantee enough attention and eyeballs, any celebrity will say yes. And as you guys know, I've done 2,000 interviews. My show's on Amazon Prime, airplanes, radio, television. We got the formula dialed in. It works extremely well. And I was doing this before my show, and that's how I got the show and got it to be even bigger is, you know, because this formula works so well, it's actually what led to me being able to get to Business Rockstar. So it's like, I think it's one of the fastest ways for somebody to build a really big show, whether it's a YouTube channel, which I'm going all in on now.
I regret
not doing it sooner.
Yep.
But yeah, dude, it's a fun formula. That's just one of many amazing strategies we can talk about.
Well, that's, I think that's a key one. And the one thing I wanted to add just really quickly before diving in is celebrities, because we've started to do this model and you get the attention immediately from brands because they're not used to this, you know, of like, oh, you're reaching for celebrities, people with massive followings already. So they already understand, cool, well, you know how to, you know, if you say you're a growth hacker and all that stuff, They kind of like brands like, ooh, really? Okay. Yeah. And then you have the celebs over here that want the promotions. They always have books coming out, you know, like
something
like,
that they want to talk about.
Show, so a movie, something. Yeah.
And they're not used to the guarantees. So you're like immediately, you know, you talk to their agent, assistant, whoever's the gatekeeper.
Like, right, bro, now they're all watching NFTs.
Yeah.
They all have something. Sure.
The best. Everybody has some project or thing to talk about.
Yep.
And a lot of the times they contractually for their book or their documentary with their Netflix or whatever, they contractually have to go on a PR promotion tour or a book signing tour, and they have to contractually get on as much PR as possible. And so when the timing is right and you offer the right attention, it's almost like a guaranteed formula for success. So that's why I say follow the people, make your list of your dream 50 or dream 100 people you want to interview. Mm-hmm. Follow them on social media. If they have a website, subscribe to their newsletter if they have one, or get notified, stay on their notification list.
Yeah.
Reach out, become friends with their executive assistant, their right-hand person of their company, because they're usually more accessible. And you can say, hey, Cheryl, or hey, Jim, let me know when Tony Robbins is available and wants to talk about their new book coming out, because whenever it's right, or their seminar, or anything they want a lot of attention on, which every year any big person has at least one thing they want attention on, at least, if not year round.
Yeah.
Like I interviewed Grant Cardone for like the second or third time because his Billionaire Undercover TV show came out. Uh-huh. He wanted to go on a PR thing and get it out there. He knew Mark always guarantees views. Same with Tillman Fertitta, the billionaire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have billionaires following up with me because they're like, oh yeah, Mark always guarantees views.
Yeah.
Mm. Other places might be hot periodically or whatever, or they can't guarantee it. So it's kind of a gamble. We don't know if the episode will get that much engagement. Mm. But if it's guaranteed because they have a dollar budget behind promoting it, then it's guaranteed is guaranteed. So
yeah,
it's a beautiful formula.
It is.
That's really cool. Do you think that all of the sort of media platforms are kind of created equal when it comes to download numbers? So if you tell somebody we're going to get you 500,000 downloads, they don't care if it's on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, as long as you get those numbers. Is that all that matters, or do they prefer it on a specific platforms?
Yeah, so getting into semantics, which I guess is more facts, a download would not happen on Facebook or YouTube because it's a view. It's not a download. You don't download a video on Facebook. So getting the terminology correct is important. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think the most important thing is the eyeballs. Is I say views, not impressions, because impressions would be even more, right? You might guarantee 500,000 views, but that might be like 2 million impressions. And an impression essentially is somebody scrolled past it.
Yep.
They saw it for like 1 second or less, and it was like, you know, when you're scrolling and you see stuff, but you don't stop on it long enough for the video to even play, and you're just kind of scrolling and you see and you see and you see and you see and you just kind of keep skipping. That's an impression, because you saw it for just a super short period of time. It doesn't even really count. Now, granted, some marketers would say after 50 impressions or 100 impressions, you have a higher chance of somebody buying, but a view is even better than an impression. And I would dare to say that potentially in certain context, a download might be even better than a view.
Sure.
But I would need to know, what is the download actually inferring, and is there data and attribution around how much longer watch time somebody gets on a download than on a YouTube video of YouTube view. Mm-hmm. And I would personally say that a YouTube view is probably most valuable, because in my experience, I don't watch 10-second YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I watch 3-minute, 5-minute, 50-minute, hour and a half long YouTube video interviews, podcast episodes. But on Facebook or Instagram, you know, I might watch it for a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And just the nature of the state that I'm in when I'm on the app, I rarely put myself in a situation to kick back and scroll through Instagram and Facebook. But I constantly scroll through, I hate to say it, I constantly scroll through Facebook and Instagram when I have 1 minute.
And you're going quick too. You know, you're not paying
2 minutes. Yeah. I have 2 minutes. And before a call, I'm like, well, I can't really accomplish anything business related in 2 minutes without interrupting my flow.
Yep.
So let me check social media for 2 minutes. And then I just aimlessly scroll and I see like if there was any important things or whatever. And then I can, okay, and I can just put it down. YouTube though, it's more like I'm making an intention to watch an episode to listen to it in the background while I'm trying to get some stuff done. You guys get the point. So yeah. I think YouTube is probably one of the best places that I would suggest. And you also have the highest probability of growing a subscription channel. One of my biggest mistakes was I did a lot of what I'm teaching on Facebook first, and Instagram. The other thing too is Facebook's getting more strict and they'll ban you more easily. So that was another thing. I got banned for like 6 months. And so then I had to, you know, redo it. YouTube's a little bit more loose. They'll let you get away with more. So my suggestion would be to do this primarily on a YouTube channel, because YouTube has the highest likelihood of you making more money building a subscriber channel. And YouTube's the only platform where a video from 5 years ago can go viral today. And so, so that means that you could wake up one morning and your video from 2018 starts to go viral. Or your episode with somebody who's a conspiracy theorist, I'm just making this up, talking about what's happening today.
Right.
They talked about it in 2017.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that video from 2017 goes viral because the stuff they said back then is now happening today. And it's like, oh, and so that video, that's what I'm saying is like, it's the only, that'll never happen on any other platform, only YouTube.
It's the recommendation engine, right? It's like you get recommended something.
Recommendation, exactly.
You see it every single day. When you're scrolling YouTube.
So, and I do, like, I watch YouTube on my TV at home, right? I don't even, I barely watch YouTube on my computer. I watch it on my Roku now, like it just, it's another TV station.
There
you,
you go.
So totally makes sense.
I'm curious of, so you mentioned the 5K, and this is maybe getting into more some details, but like, let's just say hypothetical sponsorship 5K, like where are you going to go for, are you going to go YouTube ads, since we're talking YouTube right here? Like,
right, yeah, you would go to, you would run a YouTube ad. And so there's a couple different ways you can do this. You can promote an in-stream ad, which is going to be where somebody could press skip. That's like the most common way that we've seen it. Now you could force people to watch the whole thing, but I wouldn't do that. I would suggest an in-stream ad that's skippable. And the reason why is because the first 5 seconds is free. And so that's why, if you remember Ty Lopez, hey, I'm here in my garage. Everyone remembers that part because that's the part everybody watched. And then and then everybody pressed skip.
And he wasn't paying for that.
He he got everybody to know him for free by going, "Hey, what's up? I'm here in my garage, and you know what's better than my Lamborghini? Knowledge and these books." And so that was only if you made it to like 6 seconds. But the first 5 seconds is free. So if you can create brand awareness in those first 5 seconds that people could remember, hey, I'm here in my garage, but something obviously better and directly related to your channel, that's going to help you basically become more famous for free. So you could theoretically get millions and millions of people to see something for 5 seconds for free. So be super strategic on what that is. And that's, there's too many scenarios where we could role play what that could be.
For sure.
But I like to do the in-stream ads with the skip. And then what I would do is, you could play the full episode if you wanted, if that's what you were promising for the views. Another way to do it as well, and this is sometimes better, is normally people aren't going to watch a 30-minute interview on the skip because they did have the intention to watch something else. So my other suggestion, and you could split test this yourself, and this is sometimes better for this, is you would put it on the recommendation tab as an ad. So when somebody's typing in motivation and your interview is on motivation, your ad is at the very top of all the recommended videos as a video under the subject of motivation or Tony Robbins or Gary Vaynerchuk. And so that's also better because then when somebody clicks it, they're making the conscious decision to watch your video, and you'll see the views start racking up in 100,000, 200,000. And so people are like, oh, that must be a hot video because we're all biased. We think that, oh, it has a million views and it was uploaded yesterday. I got to watch that. That must be a hot video.
For sure.
And so it's at the top, and some people are stupid and don't realize it says yellow highlight ad. But the point is, the recommended is probably the best place to go. So people are searching and yours is at the top. They're going to click it. In-stream is a little bit better for like your sizzle to get subscribers. So what I would do for the in-stream is I would take maybe like my top two or three celebrity interviews, and I'd just quickly have their face. So anytime you're searching like Jordan Belfort, Wolf of Wall Street, or Gary Vaynerchuk, or Tony Robbins, or Grant Cardone, I would have like a clip of them pop up real fast, say something just so gangster, then another clip of the next guy, so gangster, another clip of the next guy, so gangster. And so I'm just sitting here like, oh, this is like all the dopest stuff with the music edited and cuts and clips and this. And I'd make it like this hot little like 1 to 2 minute, 3 minute thing max. And then I would come on and I'd be like, what's up? This is my show, blah, 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 where I sit down and interview your favorite people, like blah, 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 and I'd list them off and I'd show them again. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to my channel if you want to watch conversations you've never heard on any other channel, any other podcast. So I'd give them some curveball thing where it's like, why me over everyone else? Like, these people are famous. You can see them everywhere. Why my channel? And I'd have like that statement. The reason why you want to check my interviews out is because I get them to talk about things they never talk about anywhere else. Like, boom, and that'd be like little clips that I might be able to show, but I'd open loop it where Tony'd be like, so this one time when I lost $50 million in a day, it was because, and then it would cut, and then it would be Gary Vaynerchuk. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and then it'd be like Gary Vaynerchuk being like, oh, that's a good question, Mark. Nobody's asked me that. And then it would cut.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love it.
And so I find, and what you do is you have to know going into it like a game of chess. I got to go watch their episodes of every interview they've done in the last 30 days. And I got to find the questions nobody's asked and make sure that I ask. They usually have questions they want you to ask them. But then I also make sure I'm coming up with questions that are just like, whoa, nobody's asked me that. Yeah. And get them to say, like, I get it all the time. Whoa, that's a really good question.
Yeah, man.
Nice. We can use that in our clip, the one that you just said it. So now we can use it. So.
There you go. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Deceiving.
There's so many layers we could peel down on this, on like the real strategy. But the overarching concept is where the value of it is. And then there's the little layers of complexity, like it, depending on your budget and how big you want to take this thing.
Yeah.
But the idea that you could interview any celebrity and ethically borrow their 20, 30 year reputation. I mean, heck, some people are super famous and they've been on the line for 5 years, but like you could ethically borrow somebody's credibility, their status completely for free without having to pay a license, royalty, mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, it's a pretty damn strategy.
Do it pretty damn fast too. Yeah. Pretty much just set the date. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious because you basically explained how to get the celebrities, right? So you follow them on their Twitter, you reach out to their executive assistants, you do that whole thing. What about the other side when it comes to like brands and sponsors? How do you approach that? How do you decide which brands to go after and what does that look like?
That's a great question, and that's the harder one to crack for most people because usually they want to see an episode. Mm. Usually they're going to want to see something so they understand like where is my ad being placed.
Gotcha.
So sometimes that first one you got to get done. And what you could do though is you could still say, hey, Grant Cardone or Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm going to guarantee $500,000 views or 1 million views. I just keep saying 500,000 for congruency's sake. But again, the number could be lower. Some like you can go get like, this is a huge one for people who like, you would get so much more credibility if you're talking about something and you have like neuroscientists, Pulitzer Prize winners, New York Times bestsellers, PhD, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
If you had all of them on a panel or a series of interviews, so then you could be like, here's my book on this, but I'm not just some guy. I interviewed the Pulitzer Prize winner, New York Times bestseller, Harvard graduate, doctor, PhD extraordinaire, and they gave me all their best research, and I put it all into this book. Now you're going to be like, damn, like that book must be good because of all those people that you interviewed. And so you could now theoretically have your interviews just be for interview sake. Then take the research you got from those interviews, put it into a lead magnet, and say on this one-page document or this white paper or PDF, I've condensed the 7 things all of these doctors and Pulitzer Prize winners all say you need to do if you want to be healthy in today's world. Mm. I'm giving it away completely for free. It cost me tens of thousands of dollars to sit down and film these. I'm giving it to you for free for a short period of time. You see how now you can create a lead magnet that's gonna have this perceived value of all these super smart people, and your interviews were just interviews. They didn't even know you were going to take that research and repackage it in the form of a lead magnet to run ads and build a giant email list and get rich off of. Mm-hmm. So I have like 20 different ways I teach how to make money from a show that has nothing to do with the show. wink, wink. Like a show is really just a pawn game in the big picture of like how to get rich by me showing you all these different ways to like weave together the benefit of leveraging their celebrity status and their 20, 30 years of credibility into you instantaneously. I could take a homeless man, get him to interview celebrities, doctors, PhDs, New York Times bestsellers, celebrities, billionaires, and then immediately have a homeless man be like, I'm nobody, but I've done a good job like you with curiosity and asking good questions, and I found everything I need to know from interviewing all these people. I'm going to give it to you for free. I mean, it's like, oh, it's like so genius.
Yeah.
It's like the best way to do it. So sponsors, to answer your question, is a little bit harder because you do the episode, then you could go to the sponsor and say, here's the interview. This is going to get 500,000 views. Would you like to have your ads placed in this? If so, then I would like to talk to you about what that looks like. Let me know when you've got 5 minutes, and you could create like a pitch deck that you send out and say, hey, we've got these three interviews coming up. And then my other favorite thing to do as well is once you identify like your top 10 sponsors, so you got to think, you got to ask yourself, what companies are already paying to get in front of my audience? That's the question. Who's already spending money to pay ads and marketing to get in front of the 500,000 people that are going to be watching this?
Yeah.
That's how you come up with your list, because they're already investing money to get in front of them. So I have an audience of business people who invest a lot of money to get in front of business people. Well, the list is large, but really quickly, if I wanted to start with big recognizable names, I might say Salesforce, the $100 billion company. I might say Shopify, another $100 billion company. I might say Zoom Technologies. I might say FedEx will help your businesses ship products around the world when it needs to get there overnight. LegalZoom will help you get all your accounting and legal stuff taken care of. And a lot of those companies are ones that have done sponsorship deals with us before.
Yeah.
Because they have a big budget. For them, $5,000 is literally like a joke. It's like a laughable joke. And so that's why for us, what we'll try to do is negotiate 6-month contracts, 90-day contracts, where I'll say, let's just have a good deal going here, where I'll give you a discount to get access to multiple episodes at a lower rate. So if $5,000 is 500,000 views, then $10,000 is 1,000,000. Mm-hmm. I'll give you 1,000,000 views for $7,500, but I'm going to want $15,000 a month for 2,000,000 views a month spread across 4 to 7 episodes a month. And so now you're guaranteed 2,000,000 views a month. It'll be spread across 4 to 7 episodes every month, and it's $15,000, and I need 6 months guaranteed contracts. Now you just locked in $90,000 for 6 months. They're going to lock in 12 million views for $90,000, which is ridiculously a good deal, because it's $5 million for 100 million views on a Super Bowl commercial. Mm-hmm. You're giving them 12 million views for $15,000. That's a big discount. Even if you were to quickly times it by 10, that's only $150,000 for 120 million views. Yeah. Try to see how a Super Bowl ad is really stupid. So they can get 120 million views for $90,000, or I'm sorry, for whatever the math was. So you guys get the point. For $900,000, they can get 120 million views. And so what I've done is I was doing 80 interviews a month at one point.
Dang.
So I was able to go and quickly go and get a lot of different sponsors to be able to rack up quick. And it's not that hard. It's like once you, because it's like they don't want to do a one-off. It's easier for them to be like, you're saying I can be an exclusive sponsor on your episodes, like, and get millions of views every month. You go, yeah, for $20,000.
Sure.
And so you give them a discount to incentivize them to pay in advance for multiple episodes, than for them to pay once, it's more expensive. Lock it in for 6 months, it's a discount. And so that's another great way to do it, but you got to ask yourself who already spends money to get in front of this audience that I'm getting them in front of. And then you got to reach out. It sucks, but you got to reach out, and you got to go to their website and go to their contact, or go to LinkedIn and type in who's the freaking marketing director at LegalZoom, and find them on Zoom or find them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a great spot to find like the marketing director of, the sponsorship director of. Not every company has a sponsorship division, depending on which companies you go after. They just call it marketing. And so what you want to do is talk to the person in charge of marketing. Sometimes what you can do is you can go to their social media and you can message them on there and say, hey, Zoom Technologies on Instagram. Some person's running this social media account. Could you put me in touch with your sponsorship marketing person? Because we want to talk to you guys about a big deal. And a lot of the times they'll say, here's the email to Joseph, who runs the sponsorship marketing division. So reach out to LinkedIn, try to find the person, go to their website and just email contact or sometimes they have like a contact us, and like Amazon has all these different divisions you can contact. Some companies have different divisions you can contact, or they have an about us and our team, and they show the different person and the different positions. Again, some do, some don't. So searching LinkedIn, messaging their social media profiles, and doing research on just like their website and looking on Google and typing in like contact marketing and sponsor division at so-and-so company. Basically what I'm saying is there's a research component here. What you could do if you really want to go all out and somebody listening right now is already super rich and like has the budget, you would just go and contact a sponsorship agency,
right?
And then an agency goes out and negotiates and locks in sponsorships on your behalf, and they take a cut for you. So that's the game right there. That's the part that most people get stuck on, but it's really not hard. I just gave you the roadmap to do it. You just have to go and do it again and again and again and again and again. But it's simple math.
Yeah.
They are paying money for views, period.
Yeah.
The math is just, it's so clean and beautiful. It's like, pay me this. Like some marketing agencies say, I'll give you 100 real estate leads a month. It's 10 grand. I'll give you 500 roofing leads a month at $25. I'll give you 100 cosmetic surgery leads at this much. And, you know, law firms do this, dentists do this, they pay agencies and they have a flat dollar per lead. And if the leads don't convert, it sucks. You paid for the leads, they didn't convert. That's on you.
Yeah.
Same thing. Sponsors paying for views, period, end of story.
Yep. Yeah.
I love that.
I want to add one extra thing too around the finding brands, because this is something that we just recently realized. We were at Traffic and Conversion Summit a couple weeks ago. We have a podcast that talks to marketers and entrepreneurs and thought leaders and things like that. Well, our audience is the same audience that's at Traffic and Conversion Summit, and that sponsorship, the sponsorships that are on the expo floor, those are the people that are getting in front of, they're spending money to be at Traffic and Conversion Summit. So I think that the thing that I would add that seems to be kind of working for us to get those conversations is going to the trade shows in your niche, see who's paying for the expo booth, and talk to those people because they're spending big money on those expo booths.
Start a conversation there in person too. Yeah, if you're out there doing that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys could get a booth there, or even better, run a geo-targeted ad just to the people in a 5-mile radius of downtown San Diego around the convention center.
Yep.
So I would run a targeted ad to the location basis of downtown San Diego Convention Center, the Marriott, and that would be my location, because Facebook and Instagram and Google and YouTube and LinkedIn, they all let you target based on an address.
Yep.
So you can literally target someone's house or the hotel. Traffic and Conversions at the downtown Marriott San Diego, that's the address that you target. And then you run a geo-targeted ad 5 miles around that. Mm-hmm. And it says, and the ad says, right there, you guys sitting where you are, and it says, what's up? It's us at the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And we guarantee if you're down at Traffic and Conversion Summit, there's a good chance you should be on our show to talk about blah, blah, blah. And we guarantee at least 100,000 views on your episode, up to 1 million views on the episode. But we're only looking for specific type of people, because we're going to put a whole lot of effort, energy, and money into each episode, promoting it and pimping it out. So if you're interested and you want to see if you qualify for 100,000 views to 1 million views to be on our episode, click the link below, tell us about yourself, and you just might land an episode with us on our podcast. We've interviewed, and it's just like the music, and it's like all these different people you guys have had on.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's an ad specifically filmed for Traffic and Conversion Summit, and y'all don't even have to leave your house. You could be in your pajamas. And you don't have to have a booth. You geo-targeted everybody in that area, so only they're going to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did it the hard way, man. We just had the booth.
We had a booth.
We have done the radius thing. We just didn't apply it. One and two together, but yeah, it's brilliant.
Now you have a banner that says,
for sure,
the only show that guarantees every guest gets 100,000 views to 1 million.
Besides Mark Lax.
Yeah, I mean, we spend so much time.
By. Oh, yeah, everyone.
Like, everybody who has a podcast or a YouTube channel, we all spend so much time trying to convince people to come watch our show, come listen to our show. I don't think we spend nearly enough time trying to convince guests that it's a good show to be on. So I think that's sort of like the flip in perspective that I'm getting from this conversation is like,
remember, the only reason they care about your show is because of selfish reasons. How many people are going to watch it?
Dang right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and I think that's the big shift that people listening should have is, you know, you need to spend that time actually making it desirable for the guests to want to be on your show as well.
Because remember this, there's a spectrum. Everyone's is a little bit different. Mine is definitely I care how many people are going to watch an episode, but I'm also so passionate that like I would do an episode if it would impact one person's life, because I also know that, you know, there's been so many times where like my episodes will change like someone's life, like actually change their life. Where I'll get a message and it's like 6 months from this episode, somebody's going to be like, bro, I heard it. I got inspired. I took action. It's been 6 months since you did that episode. I just wanted to let you know, here's where I'm at. It changed my life. And I'm just like, screenshot, save in folder, because I just save all these messages from people because it's always nice.
Yeah. Send it to Mark. So, he's telling you right now. Yeah. If you had a nugget or something, man, go get him up.
I love to see it because it makes me know that when I do these, it's actually helping.
Yeah.
Versus like I do this, it's fun, and then I never get the feedback loop.
Dude,
right?
You're going to love YouTube when you go, because we've been doing this more and more and prompting folks to basically do that and leave comments. And because you're right, like there's a lot of it. It's just like this empty void. Like we put it out there, but you don't always get the feedback. But when you do, like YouTube, we're seeing like feedback galore. So,
oh, yeah, YouTube is great for that as well.
Cool, yeah. Man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hit us up with Business Rockstars. So you have a bunch of stuff going. Shorten the Gap, I know, is your book, but that's your brand as well. What other piece outside of, so we've been talking your show process, growing the brand, using the awareness. Yeah. I guess kind of close the gap, or you know, shorten the gap for us here.
Yeah.
And tell us like what's the model behind that and how can folks go reach out and kind of play in your world, because I know you're doing a lot. It's not just what we're talking about here with the show. You got a whole funnel and coaching behind it.
Yeah, brother. This is just one fun, different, you know, tactical strategy people can use for their business to hopefully, you know, borrow more credibility, gain more credibility, get in front of an audience of people, paid for by sponsors, with you and a celebrity. So you're almost like instantly getting street cred on the internet with lots of views. It's the dream scenario.
It is.
It's like, how do I stand out? Sit with people who are already celebrities and influencers. How do I get people to watch it? Because that'll help. Well, you pay for it, and you don't have to pay for it. A sponsor will pay for it. So it's like, there's the dream formula for everybody. That's why you got to have a show, period, end of story, just for that. And then that gives you the competitive advantage to go out and do all the other things we're talking about. But yeah, people want to learn more. This is just one of like maybe a dozen really cool strategies. I've got like hundreds of strategies, but like maybe 12 of them are like jaw-dropping, like if like this one has the potential to just be like life-changing if you apply it.
Yeah.
I've got like 12 of those. We can come back on and do another episode and I'll share another one.
Cool.
But yeah, dude, I mean, people can get more information at shortenthegap.com. So that's shortenthegap.com. You can follow me on social media, get free resources, trainings, watch some interviews of mine. We've got programs and products where we help people build their brand in really unique, creative ways like the one we just shared here. And so, yeah, dude, if anybody wants to learn more, they can go to shortenthegap.com and follow me on social media and connect with me there and let me know that this episode, you know, inspired them or helped them in some way.
I love it, man.
Cool. And Business Rockstars, too. So you're on there. How are they going to find you on there? Because I know that's like kind of a group of folks, right?
Right. Yeah. Business Rockstars is a company that I'm a partner in. I'm the host of one of the main shows, Business Rockstars TV. And so you can go to businessrockstars.com and you guys can check out our episodes there. If you go to shortenthegap.com, that link's over there as well. If you want to check out more episodes. We just bought a new studio, so you guys will see some of our new episodes in that studio soon. So
dude,
I'm
it's
excited.
Money, man. I've been seeing some of the behind the scenes, and I mean, just the interviews. You weren't, you know, like you just have a whole bunch of rock stars that people are going to know. You know, not only marketers, but also outside of the space.
So it lives up to the name
for sure.
It definitely does. So go check it out, man. Yeah. Appreciate you, Mark. You rock, man.
Appreciate you guys. Again. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Peace.
So that was cool.
That was my brain is swollen with great information.
Yeah.
And I hope yours is as well. Yeah, Mark, we knew going into this, man. It was like, all right, he's going to be punchy.
He's like, got a ball of energy.
Ball of energy. He's going to lay a bunch of value down in a short period of time. So make sure to grab the notes if you haven't already. Hustleandflowchart.com/notes.
That's we'll it.
Get you there. They're free. I know. It's an easier URL.
Hey, look at me. I can do call to action. I can say things good sometimes.
So Mark... Mark Lack is a baller.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he broke from the norm like back in grade school, high school. And
to shoot people,
to shoot people in an ethical way. Yeah, I know. It doesn't actually, well, it hurts him. But that's here and
there. Paintball's fun, but paintball really sort of faded out over the last few years. It's like not as popular of a sport anymore.
I mean, I played it for a little bit and not a lot, but as he said, like,
I think a lot of people are just like, I think a lot of people are just like, you know what? Counter-Strike hurts less.
My tactic always with paintball is like just to stick my head out from behind the barricade, because I know if I got hit in my face, I'm not going to feel it. Yeah. Like on the goggles.
Right.
But it's like anywhere else, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get hit. Yeah. But
I've never got shot in the face. But yeah, no, it was a good story. You know, he kind of reminds me of a similar energy to George Bryant.
Oh, yeah, our buddy Georgie.
Yeah.
Georgie boy. Yeah, Montana boy.
But no, this episode was amazing because it sort of felt a little back to the roots where we were just, let's dig in on a tactic on this one.
For sure.
Right? So we heard him, so we're in that Steal Our Winners program, which mm-hmm. is the big Rich Sheffrin product. We've promoted it in the past. We did his live stream.
Go get it. It's worth it.
We're members of Steal Our Winners. It's amazing content. And we were actually watching Mark Lax Steal Our Winner. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, we got to get this guy on because mm-hmm. he's talking about the model we've been trying to sort of hone in on and figure
yeah.
out.
Well, it was interesting, yeah, because we like drew out this model and, you know, there's some really smart guys in our mastermind that mm-hmm. were kind of like leading us this direction. And throughout the last month or so, we've kind of put the pieces together
yeah.
and had it on the whiteboard. You actually literally just erased it.
I did. Mm-hmm.
And we took a picture. But then, we watched Mark Lack's thing on Steeler Winners, and we're like,
he just broke down what we've been talking about.
That's the freaking model. Like, almost to a T, except for, like, he has been doing it.
Yeah.
And he had all these little nuances that we didn't really think about. We're like, oh, this is perfect. This yeah. is so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because it is what we are currently doing, and we're actively making moves to do more of this big brand play.
Yeah, and we're really, really pushing into YouTube, and he, you know, mm-hmm. he was talking about how he kind of wished he got into YouTube earlier, and we've been saying we kind of wish we got our stuff on YouTube earlier.
It's not too late, y'all.
You know, so if you're seeing a lot of people talk about like get your stuff on YouTube, like this is the direction it's going. This is sort of where the momentum is headed.
And to his point too, like we're finding YouTube and Google in general, like, you know, he mentioned Facebook banning mm. him, like. Mm. Who hasn't been banned by Facebook
over interviews? Like, yeah, over interviews.
I know, it's crazy. And like, who knows? Like, could be ad related, all this stuff. But like, point is, Facebook is laying down the hand. I mean, they've done this for years, but like, even more so, it's just more pay to play, more restrictive, all that. Whereas on the YouTube, Google platforms, they are more lenient.
Yeah.
You know, like they're open to give you more free views and exposure. We're seeing that now finally past our, you know, our 1,000 subscriber mark. It's like, oh, the momentum of growth.
It's like a flywheel that starts to spin a little bit faster every day. It's a little bit faster than it was yesterday.
And you don't get that on podcasts. You don't get it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you used to on Facebook and Facebook group, but all that.
I'm Instagram. Really sorry, Facebook, but
you suck.
We don't have a good relationship these days.
Facebook, you suck.
I've been ignoring your calls. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. But, we'll continue to. It's okay. I think it's for the better for everyone.
There was this kind of like shift where everybody was like hardcore into Facebook.
Yeah.
The Cambridge Analytica stuff, the, you know, them going and saying, oh, Apple's the bad guy now. And like all of this crap that's kind of come up over the last several years.
Yeah.
I think it made Google go, here's an opportunity.
It is, man. And all the other platforms, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and when I say Google, I'm saying Google and YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I think they kind of saw the opportunity, the gap that Facebook was kind of screwing up.
They ain't no dummies. Yeah. They're going head-to-head, man.
Yeah. And then not that there's any, like, no value in running Facebook ads and stuff anymore. We still run them, but, like,
just know the territory.
Yeah, like, Google is definitely opening the door and trying to make it more accessible for people to use their platform for ads.
100%.
And in my opinion, the Google ads platforms, Google, you know, Google search ads, Google Display Network, YouTube ads, like so much better than Facebook. Like anybody that's still on the Facebook train and only the Facebook train, put a little over into Google.
That's the point of, I guess I'm making here is don't just put all of your don't put all the eggs in the Facebook basket.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. I mean, if you're crushing it, great, continue crushing, but diversify.
Yeah.
Like we've been screwed for other reasons, not necessarily Facebook, but just technology in general changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then people behind the technology change.
Yep.
We're not going to go open that rabbit hole because we can go really deep on that right now. We'll save that for a future episode.
There you go, yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, I love the way that Mark thinks, and he's a branding guy, he's a positioning guy, authority, credibility is like on top of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way from being wanting to be a rock star from like the high school paintball days
to being a business rock star.
Yeah. I mean, like, but I love that mentality because, and I think it's so damn unique that like at 18 years old or whenever he stopped playing paintball, mm-hmm. he was like, but I like that.
Yeah.
Like the money and maybe the fame. I don't know if that's a big thing for him. It sounded like that might be a piece. Like, cool. Well, now how do I continue that in life and not go the freaking corporate world or continuing paintball where it's like, well, I've kind of hit the top.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, where do we go from here? It's like maybe you're making $300,000 as the number one biggest paintballer in the world.
That's awesome.
But I bet you number one is only making like $350,000. So your ceiling is kind of...
And how long are you going to have that
position,
you know, as the best?
Yeah.
And that's, I think that like mental flip and the fact that he was studying the legends, like you mentioned Jay Abraham and all that, I'm assuming it was like pretty damn... He was young.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I wish I was studying Jay Abraham when I was that young.
Yeah.
We were pretty young, but not that. that young.
Yeah, for sure. Like, for sure. I mean, we were like in our 20s at least.
For sure. But even then, teenagers. I didn't feel like I was like grasping the depth and the, like the persuasion, all that stuff. Yeah. Deal making.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's so many rabbit holes that I think it's only time you're able to go down. Like, you know, we didn't, it wasn't like a 1 year period where you can learn how to do copywriting, how to do sales, how to do advertising and media buying, how to like SEO. Like all of that came over us doing this for 13, 14 years now. For sure. Like maybe every year we're kind of learning like deeply in one area. But
Yeah, and also it's just like the philosophy behind it all, the models, like understanding how and why all this stuff works, and then like the tactics kind of here, you know, they change around throughout the years. And yeah, it's like understanding how that all works in people.
And then one last point that I want to make about this episode that we, you know, we kind of hammered it a little bit in the episode, but like, you know, don't just put your marketing on marketing to get more listeners. Use marketing to get good guests as well, right? Like that was a big
dangle the
thing
carrot.
Of what he was saying is like, run ads to your potential guests.
Yeah.
Set up a booth to try to get your potential guests and sponsors. You know, be marketing not just to the audience that you want to hear, also put marketing budget and put marketing time into also finding those guests and also finding those brands. Those all need marketing as well. So don't just put all the marketing in growth.
True. Yeah. You can't expect them to just show up because it's you or because you have some sponsor or that even you have the views. Like most of them won't reach out. They're too busy. Mm-hmm. They're not looking for that. That's your job. That's our job. And sponsorship side, I mean, it's like, it's almost like what we found is the sponsors will come, you know, and obviously reaching out and still doing all that is great. But it's like once you have, you know, if it's your show or some other show that you're brokering, whatever it is, like that's the thing that they want, you know, and then vice versa. The celebrities want the exposure, which the sponsors are going to allow you for if you're funding it that way. And you can have a cool business model behind all this, too, which we did not explore with Mark so much.
Yeah, that'll be round two.
Yeah, because he has a whole coaching business funnel. And like he broke that down to me off air a couple weeks ago. So he kind of like layers this, it seems like, and I'm kind of guesstimating a bit.
Well, a lot of what he talked about here, I get the impression, is his top of funnel.
It's top of funnel, exactly. Yeah. He's liquid. You said it. He was like liquidating the top of funnel stuff with sponsorships or maybe his own ads or budget.
Yep.
But he knows, immediately he's going to send him, or pretty dang soon, there's a whole process to get him into his own funnel too.
Which is
super smart.
Amazing stuff. Hopefully you got a lot of value out of it. We got a lot of value out of it. We took a bunch of notes. We're going to give you those notes,
and
actually.
Free. Yeah. Where are they, Matt? I forgot the URL already.
If you go to hustleandflowchart.com/notes, you can go get the notes on this episode for free.
Hustleandflowchart.com/notes. We have an amazing sponsor. We can hit the table a lot because we have these cool arms.
Although you can still hear it. Look.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, see?
It's all good. Now you just like busted out Jim's your bud. That.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Joe will pay your medical bills.
I will not. That is the disclaimer that we have when listening to a bunch of exciting guys over here.
Sorry. Joe's reneging on his agreement.
Show me the agreement, Jim. All right. We have a sponsor. Sponsor. Hustle. That's us.
We're hustlers.
Easy webinar. We are now. We're not sponsors.
More in the magazine sense than the business sense. No, I'm just kidding.
We're exhibitionists.
Apparently.
I heard that.
Nobody knows
this.
Joe's not wearing pants.
You don't need to know.
So Easy Webinar, it does your automated webinars, your live webinars, all of the types of webinars. It builds the landing pages for the webinars. Mm. It tracks the stats in the back end. It creates the amazing landing pages. It's
the wizard.
It basically
webinars.
Runs your webinars for you. And Casey and the team over at Easy Webinar are hooking up Hustle and Flowchart listeners with a sweet discount over easywebinar.com/hustle.
Do it. easywebinar.com/hustle. I'll slow it down for you. Matt's a little quick on that. Got a lot of coffee in you today, huh?
Well,
that was good.
I mean, I'm running on like just a few hours of sleep, so
we've been excited. There's been a lot of cool things, but again, open loop for another episode.
Yes,
we'll tell you all about it. But anything else? Let's share. So, you know, Mark was requesting lovingly to reach out to him with a nugget, especially you know if it's like 6 months or so, you know, whatever it is. If you had an aha and you're actually putting this stuff in action, go reach out to him. But even better, not gonna one up. No. on the even plane there, go share this with one or two people that you think are going to have the...
No, bing. Two, not one or two, two.
Okay, two or more. And talk about it. Go to YouTube. Go find us at hustleandflowchart.tv. Find this video and go put a little comment in there. What's your takeaway? What did you love? What are you going to do? And if you're already doing it, what did you do?
Also, we're giving away Amazon gift cards to people who leave comments on our YouTube channel. We're going to start doing live streams on YouTube and giving out gift cards to people who comment.
So here's go the do thing. That. Just go to like any of these videos, and as long as you're leaving comments, we're going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be aware that you're leaving comments, because we're starting to start the engine over there.
And we're obsessive when we watch the comments.
We are. So hustleandflowchart.tv will get you to the YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Smash the bell. Ding it. Yeah. And leave some comments. Wait. Like the videos. All that fun
like
stuff.
Like the video. No, you're supposed to. Yeah. Yeah, like the video. That's
that was the sound effect. Yeah. So that's the sound of Matt's thumb going down.
That was the sound of my thumb crushing under the weight of Joe, like of Joe smashing it.
Yeah, we need a crushing sound, a bone crusher. All right.
And then, my hand just disappears. It just obliterates in the, you know,
where did Matt's magic hand of editing go? Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
We're too crazy.
We're off the rails.
We're sleep
now.
Deprived, huh?
We are. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you in the next one.
Hey, we had a good time. Matt?
Ah. Bye.